voicemail box 17654.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City Council work session on October 8th, 2007. We're glad everyone's here with us. And we have one item on our work session, and it has to do with the Red Cross building and property. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. The Red Cross property that really is the city's property that the Red Cross has been using for a number of years, located on Lawrence Street, is now vacated. They have a few things up in the attic that they have to take out, and our lease agreement is up on in November. The building was built by the Red Cross, and even though it's on our property, the individuals have gone to the national organization. The national organization just found out late last week that they can now give up the rights to that building to the city if they would like it, or it could be torn down. So the city could acquire the building, keep it on the land if that's what the council desires, and either use it ourselves or let a nonprofit to use it, or we could tear down the building. I know there has been discussions in the past that at some point in the future we may want to use that for parking or some other purpose. And so if you decide you want to go with a nonprofit to use it for a while, we could certainly write up a lease agreement of a shorter nature. This last one we had with the Red Cross was 5 years, and you could make it for less than that if you'd like to, like a couple years, 3-4 years, whatever you'd like to do, while you decide if it would ever be needed. Right now, I would say that we do not need it for parking, in the fact that between the Red Cross building and Park Avenue, there on any given day there are several parking spaces that are not being used at this time, but who knows what we may need in the future. So I'm bringing that to you tonight. Again, officially we'll have the building next month. We will be getting the paper soon from the Red Cross to deed the building over if we desire to have it. And if you want us to contact nonprofits, we could go ahead and talk to United Way and get the word out to all the various nonprofits in our area to see who may be interested in that building. So if you could give us some direction tonight, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Does anyone have a comment? Who would like to be first?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'll be first. I would like to see us keep that building, not tear the building down itself. I think that Roger and the others have been through the building, and it seems to be in pretty good shape. I think as far as my opinion goes, I'd like to see it be used for additional nonprofit agencies. We may want to limit the term that they could stay in there to a shorter period of time, which would help some of them, I think, for a couple of years, and then they could rotate, say, using it for a two-year period of time, and help, you know, more than just one agency from that standpoint.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
I really think, too, that we've got to keep this property, because if we want to do any kind of parking downtown, I think this is one place where we can identify and say, employees of downtown businesses, here is a place you may park, and fix it up so that it's not a terribly inconvenient place to get into and out of. And my goodness, that we could never buy that property again. I mean, and so I agree. I mean, if there's an agency that really, as you said, it would help them to exist because they don't have the means to have, and we think it's something that is valuable to the community, then that's okay. But I still, now that we're doing this parking analysis, would like to see, I don't see any point in tearing the building down as long as it's sound. You never know what you can use a sound little building for, and it blends in, it doesn't look awful. So, but I really do think that we have to keep this lot.
Okay. Roger, when you and I looked at the building, they didn't know if it was mold or asbestos. What was it?
We believe there's a potential mold problem, if not a mold problem. One of the individuals we were with that day did get sick after being in the building a short period of time. So that would be something that the nonprofit would need to know, and we'd either need to work with them or determine what can be done about it. But the structural integrity of the building appears to be in really good shape.
There wasn't any asbestos in the attic, though.
I could not see any. I'm not an expert. And again, I didn't want to do a whole lot until council gave us some direction on it.
I agree with what's been said so far, and I think we ought to have a nonprofit in there for 1 or 2 years with an understanding that, if given a certain time frame, we can cancel that lease or not renew it. Now, whether it's 1 year and it automatically goes into another year if we don't give notice at a certain time, or whether it's 2 years and we don't give notice, whatever the years are, I think perhaps that's the biggest question we have is, assuming everyone wants to see it in use, and certainly a nonprofit can use it, it's just a matter of when we need it, we might need it, and maybe not urgent order, but within 6 months or so. I'd like to see it used. And are there any comments, or what do you think about the time frame? I think the shorter the better. I think a year with that automatic renewal, unless we decide we need that building within a certain period of time before the renewal would come automatically.
How many parking spaces are there with the building staying there?
You could probably get no more than 10. There's not a tremendous amount of room. It's a very odd-shaped lot, mm-hmm. and of course, when you get in the very back, it falls off tremendously towards the railroad track. Mm-hmm.
But once the building's down, you could get more than that.
You probably get 20 to 25. What I would suggest that council may want to consider would be, number one, for us to find out who's interested, and then to see if 1 year is long enough for them to even go in there and clean it up and to paint it and do any construction type work they would have to do, or if they would feel they need like a 2-year lease. And then, as the mayor said, it could be a renewable one. It automatically renews unless council comes back and says we need to have it within a certain period of time.
Well, what about office space that we're going to need in the next, if we build this addition and all that kind of
stuff? If we build the addition, we should be in great shape for the next 10 to 20 years.
But in the meantime, while it's being built.
In the meantime, the two affected areas of this building, and we haven't gotten into the architecture, so I don't know how they would have to protect it, would be this room here and the room right below us. Because we're going to be going up on this back portion of this building.
Okay. Why don't we ask staff then to look at those come back with a recommendation? We have to put this on the agenda for the next meeting.
Well, let me.
Do we even need to do that? I think we do, because if we decide we want someone in there, then obviously we have to have an agreement. So,
are you asking for the agreement first, or to find out if anybody even wants to be in there?
Find out if anyone really wants to be in there. I think we have at least one.
Did someone bring up? Did you, Gary, mention an agency?
Christ Central has come to us and asked if that building would be available.
And there may be others when they find it's available.
It'll take at least 2 to 4 weeks to contact all the agencies and. Before we get back to you and then find out what their needs are or concerns.
Okay.
But you don't think it's essential that we keep this for parking?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Jane, I think that, and we've had this age-old problem we all know for a long time, that we still have employees of businesses, bless their hearts, that are parking in front of the stores. And some of them just refuse to park a block away and free up spaces that customers can have. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to take unless the owners decide that they, hey, you know, we're losing business. And maybe that's got to happen. I still don't have a problem when I come downtown to park. I've had to ride around one park one time, and that's it. I'm just fortunate, I guess, I've been able to find a parking spot. But I think for people that want to park right in front of the store, there's a problem. But the area down in Barnwell by the Trinity Home, that whole block down there, is nobody parks there, and that's just right around the corner from downtown Lawrence Street.
Well, I just think, though, that when I've talked to business owners, they've said, well, you know, our employees just really don't have any convenient place to park. And I think if we could at least start at the first step saying, here, here, and here. Here are places for employees to park. And then if they don't do it, then we have to see if we have to do something else.
Well, okay, if we have to write them a letter, I guess, and tell them where to park or where they can park without them being able to see it, I guess we'll have to do that.
I'm not trying to step in here because I think the ADDA has a plan for this, I believe.
They're going to be coming back in November.
Okay.
The first meeting in November with the parking results.
With their proposals.
With their proposal.
Okay.
Okay, what do you want to do? You have staff, let staff come back to us with the condition as well as, of course, if we'll find out probably that there's more than one organization that might want to use it. And then that'll have to be determined.
Well, following up on Jane's comment, Mr. Mayor, if you have people, for example, that work on Lawrence Street, they may just park on Newberry Street, which still impacts folks. So you have to designate, I think, off-street parking that doesn't impact business. Otherwise, they're just going to move over one street and it still impacts.
How about Barnwell that I mentioned? You get a lot of cars down on Barnwell Street. Does anybody else notice that besides me?
A lot of cars or a lot of parking space.
Huh?
You're talking about a lot of cars, a lot of parking space.
A lot of parking space because spot. No one usually is parked on that street. I go down it almost every day, sometime during the day. I went down it again today, and there are no cars that are parked on that first block off of Lawrence Street, mm-hmm. next to the home.
Mm-hmm.
That's a starter,
that's
right?
Good,
that's a starter
is.
Right there.
It is.
You can get, golly, what, 20 or so cars parked down there. And then the city has designated, how many more, Roger, 11 or so, just in the last couple months?
We restriped and added a bunch more. And you go on Pendleton Street, you go on Barnwell, you go down Park Avenue in certain areas, you could find always lots and lots.
But again, with as Leslie said, with the increase, the businesses on Pendleton don't want the people from Lawrence Street parking in front of their store either. And I noticed the cleaners on Pendleton has to worry about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just think that if we have some designated off-street parking, it would not be a bad thing. And
well,
go from there.
There's nobody parking on Barnwell in that block that I'm talking about.
Well, okay. Then I assume that ADDA is going to come forward with some proposals in light of all the studies we've done, right?
Is that right, Roger?
That's what they
sure understand. Okay. Any more comments on this for now? Okay. All right. We'll go right into our city council meeting. And I just want to thank everyone for being here this evening at our city council meeting. October 8th, 2007. I appreciate it. Appreciate your comments that you'll make and all. The more we know and listen, the better decision we can make, certainly. If you would, stand with us for our prayer and our pledge, please.
Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this evening. We ask that as we convene this meeting, that you would be present here, that you would give us ears to hear, that we would ask for clarity, Lord, in all matters that come before council, and give wisdom and discernment, Lord, for all that are present here. We thank you for the great city that we have and the employees that are here, for all the citizens that continually come forward to express themselves, to guide and direct us as we go forward, and continue to bless all that we do. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any additions or deletions we need to make to the agenda? If not, do we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda?
So, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt the agenda as presented?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? It passes unanimously. First item, the minutes, a consideration of the minutes of the work session and the regular meeting of September 24th, 2007. Any concerns there, changes necessary, or?
Mr. Mayor, I just want to thank the committee for providing those copies that we asked for at the last meeting that are now in our minutes, and would like to move that the minutes be approved as written.
Okay. I'll second that. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please, on the minutes. Approved unanimously. Under old business, appointments. First item, appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have three appointments here tonight, and they're all reappointments. Councilwoman Price would like to reappoint Joseph Harrison to the Community Development Committee and John Wallace to the Recreation Commission. And Councilmember Smith would like to reappoint Charles Hogan to the General Aviation Commission.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we receive and approve those appointments as presented.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please, all in favor. Okay. Passes unanimously. Excuse me. Are there any appointments that you want to make, nominations that you want to make for the next meeting?
Councilmember Smith called me earlier today. He is not feeling well, and that's why he is not able to attend tonight. He has an appointment to the Arts Commission. Catherine Thomas, you have a copy of her nomination form in front of you, is who he would like to designate for this particular place. She is an artist and locally here in town. So that would be on your agenda at next meeting.
Okay. Any others? Thank you, Roger. Item 2, second reading, public hearing of an ordinance to revise the concept plan for Fox Haven subdivision. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's an ordinance amending the concept plan for Fox Haven subdivision. We discussed this at length at the last meeting, and it turns out at this particular location that was brought into the city last August that a part of this area at the end of Kellogg Street needed to have a turnaround, and the developer and the county have been going back and forth as to how to resolve this. They have come to an agreement that a T turnaround would be adequate instead of having the cul-de-sac out there. And so they are asking that the concept plan be adjusted to have this T turnaround off of Kellogg Drive. The area would be fenced. There would be some shrubbery placed along that area. And so they have followed the particular areas that you've looked for. Council at the last meeting asked that a 6-foot privacy fence would be placed along the border and the landscaping installed as required by the planning director, and that has been inserted into the ordinance. So for your consideration tonight, this is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the PR zoning for the Fox Haven subdivision off of Banks Mill Road as per the proposed turnaround shown.
Thank you, sir. This is a second reading and public hearing of this ordinance. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to leave the room. Ms. Gwynn is my law partner, and she's representing the developer that's seeking this request. And so I'll be out of the room. If you have any legal advice, questions that you have, Mr. Pierce is here, and he can answer those for you.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Mary Gwynn. My office address is 405 Park Avenue, Aiken 29801, and my residence is 325 Flowing Well Road in Wagner, 29164. And just to briefly sum up what I told you the last time we met, Metro Home Sites purchased this particular tract, which is now Foxhaven Subdivision. Kellogg Drive basically dead ends at the property line of this. There was a cul-de-sac that was never dedicated to the county, and the county expressed a lot of concern with this subdivision going forward. The way it would have been, Kellogg Drive would have basically just come to a dead end. And so the county engineers, along with Metro Home Sites engineers, worked together to come up with this hammer, what they called a hammerhead turnaround. The county's concern was that emergency vehicles would need a way to turn around. This is not a heavy traffic street. And so this was the plan that was the engineers arrived at. With regard to the concept plan, there is still more than 20% green space, which is what the zoning requires. This turnaround would be built in the buffer area. And under this particular zoning, no buffer is required. The developer did elect to put buffer area in. But again, I would emphasize that it is still above the 20% green space. Also, aesthetically, for the residents in Foxhaven, it's going to appear exactly the same to them as with or without the turnaround. This developer puts a privacy fence along the rear of all property lines to begin with. They plan to do this anyhow, and they also did agree to put in some landscaping and work with the city on that. One other issue that was raised one person had sent in a letter of objection that she believed that the turnaround was located on her property. We did have our civil engineer go back out there and mark all of the pins. I went out there, looked at them. The turnaround is clearly on Metro Home Sites property. I also placed a call to her and said I'd be glad to meet her out there, or they were marked with big pink tape. If she didn't want to meet me out there, she could go see it herself. I did not get a return phone call, but that was middle of last week that I called her that everything had been marked, just to alleviate that concern that she had.
Thank you. Any questions for Mary? Thank you, Mary.
I did want to ask if, not for you, sweetheart, if public safety had a chance to go out and look at that and see, and I'm getting a thumbs up, so. Okay.
Okay. Just to clarify things, too, the buffer, though, is part of the green space, is it not?
Correct.
Okay. I can't see where it is otherwise if it's not all the way around there and all the way around each edge.
Is anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on this issue? You may do so if you would like. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I did not support this on the first reading because of the concern with the infringement on the piece of property that was addressed. I would like to move that we approve this on second reading and public hearing of this ordinance to revise the concept plan for Foxhaven subdivision after reviewing this and talking with the...
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 3 is the second reading public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 1718 Two Notch Road and zone as RS-10 single family residential. Mr.
LaRue. Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.24 acres of land, more or less, owned by Johnny A. Walton and located at 1718 Two Notch Road Southeast, and to zone the same residential single-family RS-10. He would like to see this property inside the city. He is seeking sanitary sewer from the city, which is one of the purposes as to why we put that sanitary sewer out there a number of years ago. There is a single-family dwelling unit on this particular lot, so it's ideal for that RS-10 zoning, and it's compatible to the rest of the area. This was unanimously approved by the Planning Commission, and this is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 1718 Two Notch Road under the RS-10 zone.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a second reading public hearing of this ordinance. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
So the lots on either side are 10,000 square feet, not 15, right? It looks like that from the top. It's just a...
Well, I'm not even too sure if the other two lots on either side are in the city at this point in time, so I really don't know. But the other properties that we have been acquiring in that area that have been coming in, we've been trying to get as many of them as RS-10 as we can.
If I read this correctly, and maybe I'm not, it looks like it says it's compatible with the adjacent RS-10 and RS-8.
We've taken in have been this zone.
Yeah, and some of them are a little bit smaller lots, and they have been RS-8 in the area. This is the whole Virginia acre. They're generally smaller lots, typically.
Okay.
But right next to either side, I'm not too sure. There's not that information here.
Well, what is proposed zoning? How about look at that item on the planning agenda?
It says RS-10 in the area.
What am I misreading here, then? The proposed RS-10 zoning is compatible with the adjacent RS-10 and RS-8 zoning
in the area.
In the area.
Not next to one another.
Adjacent to it, though. Adjacent. Okay, anyway, it's in the area. All right, any other comments? Do we have a motion? Second.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to approve this on second reading and to annex this property at 1718 Two
Notch
Road.
Okay.
As RS-10.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right, any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under new business, first item is first reading of an ordinance to revise concept plan for attached homes in Fox Haven subdivision. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by title only. This is an ordinance amending the concept plan for property owned by Lacey and Associates, LLC. In the same subdivision that we were working with earlier on the T turnaround, as you move forward in that area, right off of Banks Mill Road. Council last summer, so a little over a year ago, approved the development that was in there. When you approved it, this was prior to the time that we had a zoning category for attached single-family homes. And so we were trying to determine what was going to be approved by the Planning Commission and the city at some later date, and how would that apply to this development, because again, it was prior to actually having those set of regulations. One of the things that you did ask for with this particular case was that there would be some variation on the roofs and on some of these units moving in and out, and they complied with all those things and on some of the landscaping. And then you also asked for a photo as to what these units would look like. We attached the photo that was given to us at that time, and the photo shows a carport. The individual that was going to be developing it stated that that really wasn't the case, that this was just a photo that he took of another development. But because this is what council had approved and had asked for, and the fact that over the past couple of years you've been asking for some storage for attached homes, we did not feel like that was a minor change, and therefore Ed and myself told them that they needed to come before City Council, and if you approved eliminating the carports and making that an option that the homeowner could have at the time that they purchased the property, that's fine with us, but it would need to have council action. So for your consideration tonight, he's here tonight, and this is the first reading of an ordinance to revise the concept plan for Foxhaven subdivision to have carports as an option for the attached single-family dwelling units. Upon your consideration, a second reading and public hearing would be held. And this is similar to what Gary Smith had before, and he'll be excusing himself.
Thank you.
Is this a planned residential zone?
This is a planned residential site for single-family attached homes. The other one was for detached homes in the development, though. This is for the attached home section.
Okay. Would y'all like to say anything, Mary? Or?
Thank you, and I'm going to give you just a brief history on this one. The property originally was owned by Metro Home Sites, and they came in front of you to have it annexed in. And at that point, they didn't have any detailed drawings of homes, and council asked for that, and they said that that's a huge expense, and if we're not going to get annexed in, we will have outlaid a lot of funds for detailed plans. So council said, well, could you give us some photographs and give us some idea of what you are talking about? And actually, I pulled off some of the minutes. They presented, I believe, six different photographs, not just one, and at least two of them don't have garages or carports.
Those were interior shots, though.
I have the exterior.
No, I'm talking about the interior units of the attached homes.
Some of these, I know there's at least one exterior that I saw.
Okay. The ones that we pulled up did not show any, so that's why we just put the one in. We had to put all six in.
Okay. And then also the concept plan and the development plan that were submitted just showed parking pads in front. They did not show garages or carports. And frankly, in talking, the project was subsequently approved. There was no mention in any of the minutes that I could see of garages or carports being a requirement of the approval. Subsequently, the land was sold to Lacey and Associates, and so there's no confusion. They renamed it Dogwood Chase, but it's what was previously known as a portion of Foxhaven. They came down, got building permits, started construction on 16 units, and got a stop work order. And that was about 6 weeks ago. And so that's why we're here tonight. The plans that they submitted did not have garages or carports shown on them. Those were the ones that were approved. Those were the units they were building. And again, neither the concept plan nor the development plan showed garages or carports. They showed parking pads. The photos that Metro Home Sites provided, some of those did have garages or carports. It was their feeling. This was just to give you a rough idea of what the development would look like. They certainly did not intend to be held to every architectural detail that were shown in those photographs. The primary reason why the garage and carports will be difficult is there's no room to put them in now. They would basically be sitting on their neighbor's property if they had to attach these on the end at this point. There are only a couple of lots that there would be sufficient space to put them on. And again, they would like the option to attach them but not be mandated to have them on every unit.
Could they not move it in the back? They're going to have a pad to pull up.
Mm-hmm.
Is the pad going to be in front of the unit or on the side?
And I've got it. I'll pass this down if you want to look at it. You can see how all the units are configured.
And I would think they'd sell better if you had a garage or carport. That's just my opinion.
But now, of the 16 home sites then that you've started, none of them have a garage or a carport.
Correct. And none of the plans showed garages or carports that were approved for the building permits.
Mary, you stated a part of our city law here, section 429,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And if I read it correctly, it says no more. I can't be sure what this means. It's got an N, and then it's separated from the on. No more than 30% of the units may have a garage facing primary street.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain what that means, and is that what the builder intends to do? is put 30% of what, or what percent would the builder do?
I'll have to let the builder address okay. what percentage right. he would be willing to do. In conversations with him, there are only two lots that are large enough to allow for those. And by putting that in my letter, I was pointing out that there is no requirement for a garage or a carport, and that's the only mention that's made anywhere of garages or carports, and it's actually a limitation, saying that only, no more than 30% may face the front. That was the point in putting that in my letter to you.
That's if there was a requirement for them, no more than 30% could face the front?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Okay. But there is no requirement that I could find.
Well, I would like to ask the question, what is the intent of the builder to put them in? We talked about the 16. You have more than 16 that you're going to be building, correct? Okay.
Mr. Lacey right.
is
here.
The builder here. Excuse me. Could you come up, sir, and address that, please?
One of the things that council had mentioned when you were talking to different builders and developers in the past about having garages or carports was you were very concerned about storage. You know, where people put their lawnmowers and their bikes and other things. And one thought you could think about in this particular case would be if there is not room for carports or garages, maybe the other alternative would be requiring some kind of storage shed with each unit or some kind of attachment where they could do some storage.
Right. Yes, sir. Would you give us your name? Would you give us your name, please?
My name is Jeff Lacey. And I live in North Augusta, South Carolina.
Thanks, Jeff.
701 West 5 Nice Road. This thing came up as we purchased a piece of property, Metro Homes.
She did.
With the approval from the city council of this approved plan that has been marked right here. We had didn't know anything about carports or garages until we got shut down 5-6 weeks ago. This has been approved. We thought it was an approved plan. We went through. It's been everything's in place. The water, 62 water taps, the 62 sewer taps, the 62 lots. We built it to the plans and specs. We've engineered Southern Partners for Metro Home sites. We have operating permits for the sewer. We have operating permits for the water. The roads have been paved. The only thing that we are lacking at this time to get the final plat approval is our landscape buffer. And once we are in the process of putting that in. We have pulled the plug on it till we see where this thing goes. We have purchased our permits on 16 units. We have our business license in place. We've done everything and jumped through every hoop that we knew that we were supposed to. And like I said, we have started. And the next thing we know that there's this discrepancy about these carports that we were not aware of, and we still didn't know anything about these photos. These photos just came up, like I said, 5-6 weeks ago. And that was the plan that we have been building by and dictated what we put in place that was approved by the, I think, the Planning Commission of Aiken, City Aiken. We've already offset it. We understood that they wanted some roof variation. We've offset every unit 2 foot. Every unit, there's not going to be any solid lines on any roof. Everything was already, some of them 4 foot, a minimum of 2 foot. Every unit would be basically offset.
Okay. Jeff, you said your plans had been approved and all that with no garage or carport.
That's correct. The engineer plans, when we just passed through here.
Okay. Ed, would you just concur to that, please? I'm not saying it's not correct, but is that correct from the planning department?
As far as that, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well,
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm a little perplexed here with Mary, with a couple of your statements. not that they were yours, but just the way they're said leads me to believe that there was an indication that garages or carports would be put in some of them. Let me read. Some of the units depicted a photograph containing garages, carports, but not all of the units contained such attachment. The developer did not prepare nor submit detailed drawings of the proposed units, as it was waiting to a certain way the property would be annexed to the city before going to expensive detail. It was the developer's intention in submitting the plans that its development would be similar, but certainly not identical to the photograph provided. Now, we did have a photograph, at least one?
Six.
Six that showed a garage or carport?
Some of them were, you got end units and you got interior units. The interior units obviously did not show anything.
Right.
But the end units did show the carports.
So it seems, at the very least, there would be some units out there with carports or garages. Based on on what we saw with the photograph. Now, obviously, it seems like also we've got a discrepancy on here on what was finally approved on the drawings versus what the thought was when we were talking about it here as depicted in Mary's letter. Seems like that's a problem.
When did you purchase the property?
We purchased in December.
In December.
After the plan and engineering plans had been approved through y'all. And like, so that drawing and those specs right there. And like I said, we started clearing in first of the year, and it's paved and finished, and we were trying to get started on the construction of the units.
This plan does not show a single garage.
It does not.
And how did this get approved if we did a planned residential? This is the trouble when we take photographs as samples of what's going to be there. I don't think it's too much to ask people to draw a drawing of what the units are going to look like. It would certainly have saved you a lot of confusion, for one thing. It might have helped the planning department when they saw this to know that it didn't... I mean, it doesn't take 2 seconds to look at it to see that there aren't any garages or carports anywhere. I mean, if we're going to spend the time creating a planned residential zone and talking about it the way we do, then we've got to insist upon getting some decent drawings and insist upon our planning department checking these designs to be sure they comply. Because this one, I mean, I'm not blaming you. It is. It's signed off November 2006. There's not a single garage or carport here anywhere.
Mr. Mayor, if I may please.
Sure.
If my memory serves me correctly, when this passed on August 14th, 2006, it was during the time that the regulations for attached housing was in the Planning Commission.
That is correct.
So we did not have any regulations at that time. Now, what we asked the property owner to do was to get with Mr. Evans and him work out an agreement with Mr. Evans for him to make some concessions toward the ordinance that we had coming through the process at that time, but also understanding that he may not be able to meet all of the criteria. And so then he and Mr. Evans got together, worked out a program, and brought it back to City Council on second reading, and we passed that with the agreement between the property owner and Mr. Evans. They come back, he had made some concessions. Now, I do not recall the carports being a part of that. Now, Mr. Evans may.
This also doesn't show, like you said, the buildings being offset either, does it?
There was a note on the approval that they had to be offset. And
it was there,
We are aware that we are doing that.
But there was no note that you had to provide a garage or a carport. No.
Again, this was during that transition period, and to take us back, and what you said, Councilmember Wells, is exactly correct, but to take it back even one step before that, this property was granted water and sewer a couple of years before it was even annexed into the city. And so it was a case they could have gone ahead and stayed in the county and used our water and sewer and not come into the city at all. And that's where that negotiation occurred with the developer on, gosh, we're right in the midst of going ahead and making some changes on attached housing. What could you live with? What could we live with? And Mr. Evans, myself, and Mr. Kroll met on several different occasions to try to work out something. And it was only at the very end of all that that council said, oh, by the way, can we see what these things would look like? And that's when they produce the drawings that you had with the carports in it. In checking the minutes of the meeting, there was no discussion saying, yes, we want carports, no, we don't want carports. It wasn't clear, I believe, to a lot of different folks. But again, one of the intents that I know that, you know, maybe to help resolve this is that council did are very concerned about if we can't have carports, at least having that storage out there for each individual on the outside to be able to store some things, whether it just be some rakes and shovels or a lawnmower or a weed eater or whatever it would be in that place. Instead of, we've seen locations where they get scattered over the yards and it does not look good. Because this was so confusing, again, that's why we brought it back to get some direction from you. But if that is satisfactory, that they, as Mr. Lacey said, supply those storage units, then that would at least meet the requirements that you have been asking for.
We incorporate outside storage on every unit.
How big of an area would you say,
Jay? It's 5'8" by 4'6".
Is that what shows on the design, that little extension on the back?
Yes, ma'am.
It's not a patio, it's
no,
a storage unit.
It's a patio also, but it also leads into outside storage. And we also brick every other unit. Every other unit will have a brick front. Mm-hmm. It would be a lot more aesthetic than what you see in this photograph.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do remember that we were concerned about them not all looking alike.
That's correct.
That they not all be in a straight line across
every one
the front.
Of them, some of them have a double gable stoop, some of them have a single.
Right.
We change
right.
them up. But at least every other one of them will have a brick face front.
But I think it may have been later when we decided that we wanted to make sure that all the units had storage, that they, and it appears from the drawing that if that's not a patio, that you do have some storage.
Yes, ma'am.
And I guess once again, we need to make sure that that's etched in stone, because it's not apparent from just looking at the picture that it is storage on that form.
No problem with that.
And I think what might have happened is that when the lot transferred, when the property transferred from one owner to the next, that maybe some of the dialogue didn't get transferred with it, or that the idea of the garages and the carports came up after this was approved.
Like we purchased it on those approved plans right there. We based our figures on. That's what we started with. That's what
right.
we constructed it through. And you know we're at the end. And like I said, we obtained our building permits on 16 units, and we have started, and we are shut down as we speak.
So you've been shut down. You can't build anymore until you.
We've been shut down approximately 5 weeks, going on 6 now.
Okay. We recognize that you're caught in the middle, but it does make me very uncomfortable with approving something that I know that I would have some objections to, knowing the problem that I've seen in the past with units built with no storage area, and especially having a garage or a carport. People believe that adds value to the property, but especially the storage area. Just piggybacking on what Roger has said and what I've personally seen in areas that we have just recently tried to revitalize, those folks, when they moved into those homes, did not have many places to store barbecue grill. Everything was sitting out in the yard, your rake, your lawnmower, everything else, because there was no storage areas. And preferably when these units are built, what looks better if they are attached to the homes. But given that you've already started, there is obviously no area to, not enough property with the neighboring area to attach that.
you were left with no other choice but to put that, place that in the backyard of these units.
They're going to be attached.
They are going to be attached.
Yes,
I thought you said they were going to be in the backyard. Okay, I didn't see that. Okay.
Jeff, how say, what's the dimension on that again?
4'6" by 5'8".
What do you mean by 4'6" by 5'8"?
4'6" by 5'8".
Okay.
Got a 3-0 door leading into it. Big enough to get a lawnmower in.
Okay. Yeah. A riding lawnmower or just a push lawnmower?
Push lawnmower.
Okay.
The backyard is going to be
very small.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I mean, weed eater will take care of it. And a lot of people, you know, put gardens and you know, a lot of people don't care for the grass in the backyard. So they, you know, they really can beautify them any way they want to. It's fee simple, and it's basically, it's, everything has a privacy fence in the backyard, with the exception of these ones on the right, they'll have a half fence because we didn't want to get into the buffer zone in one area. But the rest of them will have a completely privacy fence and privacy fence in the backyard.
What's the square footage of these units and how much do they cost?
They're going to sell in the 90s, 1,092 square feet heated.
How
1,092.
Okay. Heated. And it's selling at what cost?
In the 90s.
Okay.
Well, that's that. If we're looking for some good things out of this, that's good because that's lower price homes. So that means some of the folks that can afford that price home can move into it. I think, obviously, doing the misunderstanding, the bottom line to me is the prints were approved as they are.
They were. Yes, they were approved.
We learn each time something happens that that we didn't think would happen, maybe, and we move on. We learn from it and we move on. So I'm in favor of us moving on with this on first reading. And
I am too.
And, so that you can get back to work building your places.
Do we need a motion to move?
Yeah.
Can I just add to the ordinance that we will go ahead and change the ordinance for a second reading that will state, and if you want to make this into your motion, that we approve the ordinance with the addition that attached storage units, and we'll put the dimensions in, will be provided for each unit.
Okay. I'd like to move that we pass this on first reading and that the concept plan, revised concept plan for Fox Haven be approved with the understanding that we will have storage units in the rear of each unit.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Attached to the rear of each unit. Okay.
I'll second it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Very good. Thank you all. Item 2, first reading of an ordinance regarding printed material within display racks on the public right-of-way. Mr. Levick, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance amending Chapter 36 of the City Code of Aiken, South Carolina, regarding printed material display racks on public rights-of-way. And, Bill, you might as well come up since we're going to be talking to you a lot. Bill Huggins has been working on this particular ordinance now for quite some time. And again, I'll go back a little bit of history on this. In 2005, at a Horizon retreat, this item was brought up. Council at that time said, yes, we'd like to do something about consolidating the display racks that we have on the public rights-of-way. A committee was put together representing several publishers. The two major newspapers, the Augusta Chronicle, was on that committee, and they were at a lot of the meetings. The Aiken Standard was at that. And then we had various other publishers of different magazines, publications that were there. Right now, we currently have 18 different locations and over 100 different racks at these various locations. And the committee that met probably at least, it seems like a half dozen or more times, maybe it's only four or five times, over the last couple of years, selected 11 different locations. We sent out information to all the publishers. They told us at each location how many different display racks they wanted. So we contacted the two major newspapers because they have a lot of publications. They said, at this location we want three, at this location we want four. And we took all that into account, came up with 11 locations, went back to them again. They all felt fairly comfortable with that. Recently, as we got close to moving forward with this, we found out that the price of the unit that you have seen on Richland Avenue near Aiken Drugs costs about $3,000, fairly expensive, and a number of the publishers said, for us to pay up front for our portion of that cost would be very expensive. And so we have changed the ordinance that would allow them each to make a down payment and then spread that cost over a number of years for that. There's provisions in here that if in the future additional locations are needed or additional display racks are needed at those locations, that there's provisions to add on to that. But again, they have to go through the committee, and then they in turn would go ahead and look at it, make a decision, and then come back to City Council for those approvals. You have the memorandum of understanding that was developed by all these publishers. You have a map in here showing the various locations where they'd like to go ahead and see these display racks at. Last Friday, we got a call from Mr. Jim Holly, representing the Augusta Chronicle, and he came up with a number of things that we have not had time to discuss because they came up just at the last moment. So I know he's here, and after you hear from both sides, one of the things, if you feel even somewhat comfortable with this, we'd like to go ahead and, if there's still some disagreements, to try to work those out and then bring them back to you at the second reading, if there are any other changes that need to be, so that we can move this forward, either move it forward or decide not to move it forward at all. But we've just been working on this for a long time. I'm going to read this ordinance by its title. This is an ordinance amending Chapter 36 of the city. Oh, I've already done that. We're getting so confused here now. So it's here before you, and we're looking for direction from you tonight.
Okay, thank you, sir. First thing let's do is suspend the rules so that folks can talk on first reading, since this is a first reading and this is a legal thing you have to do. So I move that we do that.
Second.
All in favor, show of hands, please. Okay, we've done that now. Who would like to speak first? Anyone? Bill? Oh, you're ready, aren't you? You have anything to say since you were the...
Nothing.
Of course, Roger has done a good job of starting off. since there were some questions, Jim, do you want to...
I think Ms. Nichols is here for another conversation, if she wants to speak or not.
Okay, everyone's going to get a chance, so.
Well, what do I have to say again?
We haven't heard it for a while, though.
I'm Beth Nicholson. I publish Bella Magazine. I live at 818 Azalea Place in Aiken. throughout this process, we've been meeting with the RAC committee that we all, the city established, and we've met many times. All the publishers have been attempting to come to a resolution so that the city can be happy and that our advertisers can all be fairly represented and we can do the right thing. I think we all have similar opinions about it, but I can't speak for anyone else. My concern over the MOU specifically is that it isn't something that I think is going to work at all. You know, with the way that it's written and the way things are. The weight of responsibility on us is tremendous, and there's many things, and I know we talked to Bill, and Bill said, well, we would kind of go over that and fix that, you know, after the first reading, but my thoughts on it were that it's so off that I don't know how we can even sort of go forward on that.
Beth, excuse me, could you give us an idea maybe of one or two of the things that concern you?
Well, the things that concern me are that there are no specifics in it. It says that council decides the location of everything. They decide how many go out. council decides that they can remove them if there's a problem. Council decides if the downtown businesses don't like it, that they're going to remove them. And also that we're financially responsible and liable for any injury that may come from someone being hurt by one of these racks. And my concern above that was that I feel like in order for everyone to be represented, because of the number of publications that we all produce, that if we did do these condo racks, in order, because each one will only hold six publications, that, for example, if one, the Aiken Standard at that point, I think, may have had six, the Chronicle had nine, you know, we all have one, and we all, you know, want to be represented at the same locations as our competitors, and also in the best locations, because bad locations are bad locations, and if no one's there to pick them up, they don't pick them up. So that's why it's been complicated for us, because in order to have everyone represented where they want to be, I foresee it being a triple unit situation, and I felt like the public was never going to accept that, and there would be we'd be getting into the whole thing again after having spent all this money. And I can't predict the future, but I felt like that was probably what would happen, and I couldn't see a resolution with what we've done. And we've discussed this at the meetings, and again, different people have different ideas.
But, Beth, were you at the ADDA meeting?
No.
That they had a big meeting here of businesses that came, the board. It was called the quarterly, I guess, all business meeting. And this was discussed, and what the report we have in our packet here is that we had only positive feedback. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe, I don't know if anybody went that had negative feedback.
Well, they saw one unit in one spot, and I'm not sure that they would approve it had it reality actually been, represented. And the other thing is does the ADDA represent all of the business owners in downtown Aiken? Is that their...
They represent them. Not all of them are necessarily members of the ADD, but they're in, all of the businesses are included in the activities and those kinds of things.
So you use those as maybe what they say is a guide to your decision making.
That'll be on any maps and what have you, and and the wayfinding, when we get that, they'll see all the businesses or...
Right.
Presumably all the businesses, I think.
I went to those meetings a year ago when they had it. I didn't go to this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we can certainly work out these things. We want to work together. We want a win-win situation here, no doubt about it. We want to keep our downtown beautiful. And therein lies the concern that I have, I guess, when you have a lot of these big black boxes and exactly where they're going to be. And, of course, they can be joined together or they can be side by side. Greenville has worked them out well, and a lot of other cities have worked them out well. Saw Greenville just a couple months ago. And
Charleston.
After a while, you hardly notice them.
Right.
But it is different, certainly. But I do think we can work through these situations. And
Mr. Mayor, may I ask one question? Beth, are you responsible for your box now if someone should get hurt?
Yes.
You are responsible now?
Yes.
But you think that would be a problem later on when we put them all together?
Well, they're big, they're steel, and they have sharp edges, and, I don't know. Seems like if a car hit that, and because they're cemented into the ground, there could be damage that may not incur when it hit a small, lightweight plastic box.
Well, I think that's an area that we need to look at, because I'm not sure you need to be responsible for anything about that box. When we fix that box to the street where it's supposed to be, those sharp edges and everything ought to be off of there, in my opinion. And I don't think we expect all of our businesses who have things in there to come along with a file and make and file down edges or do those kind of things. I don't see why in the world we would expect that. We should do that. The city should do that when we install them, and then there ought to be a periodic checking of them, I think.
Well, doesn't it say that on Roman numeral 7, number 2?
It does.
It says the city will maintain liability insurance for the protection and benefit of city and of the publishers and distributors.
Yeah, and I'd like Bill to respond to some of these, because I'm not too sure that some of the things that Beth thinks are going to happen is what's going to happen and what's in the MOU.
It's what's in the MOU is not what's going to happen.
No, what's in the MOU is about the liability, city can remove, don't know the locations, only holding six. You know, those things are all covered in there.
Yeah. Bill, you want to address some of these concerns that Beth has?
It was in the one that we received on the last one we received.
About a year ago?
No, last week.
No. You've got the most recent. I'm not sure if I can remember them in order. I do know the liability, as you said, is covered here, so I'm not sure where that concern came from, because we would carry the liability. As far as moving units, really the only coverage on that here that I recall is that the city would exercise the right to remove a unit if there was a clear and present danger involved, in other words, public safety issue involved with that location. Mm-hmm. That's the only circumstance that I could recall seeing here where we would exercise that right. And the final process, as I recall, I'm not sure I've covered everything Beth had in mind, but is that council would have final authority to approve any new units, the location of any new units, and whether or not any new units would be allowed beyond the ones that are approved initially.
As far as only six units at any one location,
six units,
we could have that where we could buy a unit that would have 8 or 10 or 12. I mean, they come in multitudes.
Yeah, that's flexible. There's nothing, to my knowledge, there's nothing in the MOU that specifically says it's got to be this many at this location. I mean, this many cabinets in this particular location. Doesn't say that exactly.
How many are in the one by Aiken Drug now, Bill?
I'm sorry?
How many are in that unit, the one we're looking at, the sample? Is it 12?
Eight.
Okay. And then some of these units will have a vending machine capacity and some will not?
The pay units as opposed to the free?
Correct.
And those mechanisms for the coin mechanisms would be provided by the publisher. We wouldn't install that part. We would install it, I suppose. I'm not really sure. We'd probably need technicians to do that, from what I'm told by our publisher friends. So we would not purchase those. They would, and they would have them installed in the units where they need them.
I think Scott, were you shaking your head, yes or no?
Oh, no. We would actually install them ourselves.
Yeah. And the locations, I think, were mentioned, too. The locations on the Exhibit B are not precise, so I think it needs to be. We had to come up with approximate locations, because we won't really know until we get out there with units and with public safety issues to deal with and all the rest precisely, and the support from the business owners. Precisely where we'll be able to put them. These were approximate. They would be in these areas, but not. There's not a precise location indicated there.
Yeah, but let me give you an example. Let's say in front of Pat's restaurant, where there's a multitude of different publications that are out there right now. We may have to have, and again, if you could picture where a car parks, that's in a parking area that's about 10 feet wide, and a car is about 6 feet wide, so you always have a little bit of space on either side to get out of the car to walk in that aisle. We would not have any of these units blocking those aisles. We would have them right in front of the car. And if we had so many publications, like in front of Pat's, we may have to have in front of this car 6 or 8, and then in front of the next car over it, another 6 or 8, and leaving a space in between for people to be able to walk to the restaurant itself. And that's where, like Bill said, there might already be a street lamp there, or there might be a tree, and so we're going to have to move it a few feet in one direction or the other. But it's the locations are fairly precise, and that's right in that area. We're not going to change it. Instead of being in front of Pat's, we move it all the way down to the hotel, type of thing. We know that that's one of our locations that people like to have publications at. Obviously, at the post office, they'd all be right where they're at currently. except there would be double-decker, and there would be, depending again how many publications we had, they could be 6, 8, 10. You could order them whatever size you want. The alley right behind us, right at this corner, again, we'd go ahead and have one or two units depending on the number of publications. And when the way we did this initially is we sent out a list to all the different publishers and said, okay, how many units are you going to need, or how many racks are you going to need within the larger context here at these different locations. And based on that, that's where we came up with these 11 different sites. You know, until we get to, everybody says, yes, this is what we want, we pass it, then we'll go back out and say, okay, we're ready to go ahead and purchase it. Are you sure this is what you want? And if so, then we need a down payment of X amount of dollars to go ahead and order the units. The city would be essentially buying the units. It would take us probably 4 or 5 years before we pay for the units itself. And meanwhile, you know, we take some risk, and the fact that a publisher could say a year or 2 years later, well, I'm not interested in that unit, and it may be vacant, you know, a rack that's there. And, you know, that's something we'd have to deal with.
Bill, what about the size of the individual units? Is it going to be a price differential, just like Real Estate Magazine doesn't need the full-size cabinet? I think, Beth, you said you had to fold yours in half. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be the same price whether it's a small publication or a full-size newspaper?
The way it's written now, it just says cabinet, per cabinet. So, I mean, that could be adjusted. Those numbers are not, obviously aren't.
And the cabinet, obviously, is the size of a newspaper.
Yeah.
Right.
But you have some units that could be half-size that we'll have also.
Is yours the same size as the Aiken Standard or the Augusta Chronicle?
Beth, would you come up?
Yes.
We need folks to come up here to the mic, please, so that we can get everything on tape, so that if there are questions later, we can understand.
Be held against me.
Oh, no. It would be freeing to you, I'm sure.
Yes. My publication is... it depends on how you fold it, but it's 10 by 14, which is larger than it's a deviation of a newspaper size.
Okay, yeah.
And everyone has different sizes in their publications. You know, some people have bigger ones, some people have smaller ones. You know, it's fairly complicated. So it's difficult, I think, to try to get everyone to fit in the same box, because mm-hmm. not everything is the same. You know, especially with digest publications versus larger publications, and I would like it if we could come up with something other than the modular unit, and maybe if we had to do something, have all the units be the same color or something like that, if something had to be done. But I think that you're creating a greater problem by trying to solve the problem. But that's just my opinion.
I look at the hold harmless statement. Is that what you were referring to? It's, I guess it's the last page before the signature page. Number 14 on Roman numeral.
Right, yes, ma'am.
Because other places in here, it talks about the city being responsible. But that was the only statement I could find.
Well, it says that publishers and distributors hold city, its employees, agents, successors, and assigns harmless from any event arising from the location of their publications in these news racks. So it says that the city assumes no liability whatsoever from the placement and utilization of these news racks. That's number 14.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that that we can do better than what we have now. I know it might be an imposition on in somebody's mind of your ability to be free with your press, but I think at some point we need to rein in what's going on in some of the areas. These boxes are getting more numerous, and I do think that this is a step in the right direction. As to whether it's the perfect solution, I don't know. I do know it works other places, and Aiken may not be like other places, but I do think this is a step in the right direction, and we need to work to satisfy people who don't like this, but I guess maybe we need to have you make more contact with the ADDA to make sure that they hear your points of view.
The ADDA?
The Downtown Development Association.
Carla Cloud.
In her notes to us, she has not had anyone who didn't like what was going on, and that's probably because you were not there. And I'm just saying to you to make known to her your concerns, because it looks like there is a committee that's working on this, and certainly if you have a publication, you should have your input into what that committee brings back to us.
Okay, let's see.
Yeah.
Beth, did you have any other comments right now? Because we have some other people.
I just didn't feel like the ADDA should be the deciding factor as to whether this was a go or not a go, because they're not representative, I don't think, of the majority of the downtown business people. There are a few people that are involved, but I don't think, and I don't understand like why ADDA members get more consideration than the other business owners or people downtown. We've had a petition. I had 160 signatures of people saying, you know, don't mess with the boxes, and that was, I guess, ignored. And so it, for us, it's.
Did you give that to ADDA?
No, we gave it to City Council. ADDA, I had no idea ADDA had anything to do with anything except for what they were doing with their programs. I didn't know how heavily they were involved in the RAC thing, because I would assume maybe there had been somebody on our RAC committee from the ADDA if there was that sort of concern for that. But again, that was news to me. I had not heard ADDA throughout any of this.
Yeah.
And you all may have. I just don't work here, so I haven't heard any of that.
Well, they've been in existence for a long time. They've done a super great job for our downtown area, and they're very important to our downtown. So they will be involved in everything that, pretty much everything that goes on downtown.
But
we want to work together. We want everybody to work together, and we're going to work together to make sure that this is a win-win situation.
That's what we all want.
I can't imagine someone from the was someone from the ADDA not on that committee.
What?
No.
No.
We never heard of the ADDA before today regarding this.
Well, that's a shame.
I know one of the ADDA board members is from the Standard, and I thought there was a number of board member, or at least a member of ADDA that's on the committee. But I do know that Jeff Wallace is one of the board members with ADDA.
Well, he hasn't been to the meeting, so I don't know. I can't speak for that. Anyway, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Beth. Would anyone else like to speak to this issue? Okay.
My name is Kyle Cavell. I live at 2295 Banks Mill Road, and I published a real estate book for Aiken County. And I want to thank Bill and Roger for their work, and the council for considering this. I've had a cold, so excuse me. But I just want to go on record saying that we'll go along with whatever is decided here, but we would prefer to have our own racks out there. We just got back from Lexington, Kentucky, a small trip there, and That town's a lot bigger than this, but similar in that it's a horse community. And they had numerous publications, a lot more than us. And they were present downtown, didn't seem to be a problem. There are real estate book racks downtown New York, and they don't seem to be a problem. Communities with a lot more publications than us. And I would like to see our publication in a rack that represents it, that's known nationwide because of its design, but we'll certainly go along with whatever the council decides. And we do appreciate all the hard work that everybody's put into it and consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yes, sir.
My name is Andrew O'Byrne. I'm a resident of Wagner and formerly of Aiken. I spoke with the mayor about this 2 years ago, and I would like to reiterate to the council now that as a retired newspaper publisher, I consider this act a restraint of competition on new and other smaller publications, and I also consider it a restraint of free speech, which is a First Amendment issue and which you all enjoy. And I think as we look at the coverage that we see in our papers, some people may desire to have new publications. Other people may want to express themselves, and you have restraints on people making that available in the streets of your city. And I don't think that a litter or a clutter issue should overcloud your First Amendment rights or our free trade rights. And I respect our noble publishers here, and I think they do a good job, but I think that there's two main publication firms in this community, and I think that they are remiss for allowing themselves to even be involved in this discussion, because they should have said no to you. And under those two premises, that first it's a restraint of trade, and second is an infringement on their First Amendment rights. And I feel very personally very strong about that. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew.
One more thing. We have more than 9 locations in the town of Wagner with 370 occupied homes than you're allowing for in your municipality downtown.
Thank you, Andrew. Who would like to speak next?
Good evening. Jim Holly, residence 190 Aberdeen Drive, Aiken 2903, office 111 Park Avenue, Southwest, Aiken 2901. I represent the Augusta Chronicle and have for about 9 years, and our firm's represented them for decades. And on Monday, I did contact Mr. Huggins about my involvement and some concerns. And I understand from the representatives of the Augusta Chronicle that are here tonight, first, Mr. Don Bailey, the president of the Augusta Chronicle, Ms. Janet Culver, director of operations, and Mr. Jeff Hartley, who's the circulation director. And Mr. Bailey tells me that a year or so ago he spoke to you about some of the concerns that had been expressed by the last speaker, which I may address. I don't think anyone disagrees with the goal of making downtown Aiken look even better than it does, and to have some system whereby even the news racks look better. And my client supports that goal. It agrees with Ms. Nicholson that the current vehicle for trying to accomplish that has many problems. My client was not aware of Downtown Development's involvement, and in reading the letter that they sent was in the agenda package, which I got off the computer. It indicated that people came by and looked at the racks and thought they looked nice. Well, this is a heck of a lot more complicated than whether they look nice or not. I don't know if, you know, they've got into the MOU, the locations, and all these other things, but, and Ms. Culver was on the committee and has voiced some of these same concerns over the meetings. But there seemed to be a desire to get it finished. In any event, the First Amendment applies to this. Think back to the days of the Revolution. How did they get out information about the Revolution? Through pamphlets given out on streets and sidewalks and downtowns. That's how it was communicated. The foundation of our country, the right to give out materials, has been protected and held in high esteem. And that's the same thing that these newspaper racks do. And any time that you pass regulations dealing with them, if you have legitimate goals that the First Amendment recognizes, you have to do it in such a way that has the least adverse impact on the distribution of those materials. Not only the content of newspapers are protected by the First Amendment, but also the distribution. Because if you don't have distribution, what's in the newspaper doesn't make any difference. So whatever is developed has to be very, very tightly drawn and has to comply with the First Amendment. Because it's seen as a form of censorship because you're limiting what can be distributed. The MOU is 11 pages long and it's contradictory, as already been pointed out. It passes a liability to the newspapers and providers, that provision that was just read. And the one I have has a little bit different numbering, but it passes a liability back to them. And even if there's insurance, the insurance company's going to subrogate back right against the newspapers. They have no control over the location or the design or the use of them, really. So it does pass it on to them. Also, the MOU gives city council complete discretion to use any criteria whatsoever to not allow more racks or to not allow more publications. It involves a lengthy process to try to add publications or add locations. You have to go through the committee, then come up here, and then go through however many months it might take to try to get a new location. When you delay somebody's right to access their First Amendment rights, that's a denial. Some communities do have some types of regulations, but they're much different and simpler than this, the least that I've seen. And this MOU, I know a lot of hard work's gone into it and a lot of input, but it's just replete with First Amendment issues and problems and deficiencies. My client, I think like one of the other speakers, prefers if we're going to do something, let's keep it simple and something that'll work and enhance the public's right to gain access to these publications, not create public safety problems or eyesores, but have a design criteria that they have to meet and limit the locations to 11 or however many is reasonable in a simple process to add locations or to add publications. Do you want to control whether or not people in the city of Aiken can read a publication by denying them access to a news rack? What if it's an unpopular one, one that criticizes the city, and you deny it? What the results of that are going to be? It's just something that needs to... It's a process that needs to take into account these issues. Most of the major publications in the area have multiple publications, and there's going to be growth in that area. And there needs to be a way to efficiently deal with that growth and to allow to review and allow new units, new locations. We're trying to get more people downtown. There'll be more demand downtown. We have a publication that's 12 by 17, so which creates an issue. I can go on and on and on with some of these comments, which I don't want to do. It seems to me, respectfully, that having an ordinance that's clean, concise, and to the point, and easy to administer is the best process to protect the First Amendment rights, to satisfy the businesses, satisfy the citizens' right to have access, and to do it in a way that reduces the risk to the city of adverse results from things that intentionally or unintentionally happen to violate the Constitution. And that's what we would submit to the city, that this needs to be looked at and other solutions considered. And it's, I don't believe it's something that can be done in a matter of a couple of weeks or 3 weeks. And as you see, there are a lot of different people involved besides just the city. There are a number of different publications. So I'd be glad to answer any questions or try to answer any questions you may have. It does.
Jim, were your clients from Augustan, thank you for being here. Were you all involved with any of the meetings with Bill and the input that went into this?
Ms. Culver attended them, and she states the same thing was stated by another speaker. Some concerns were voiced, but we'll take care of them later.
Okay, because it's a shame to get to this point, and then we've got all these questions that this implies to me. Perhaps, well, obviously, a good enough job wasn't done to start with, or at least the inputs weren't there, and there wasn't much of an effort. And I guess I shouldn't say this because I wasn't there, but maybe the proper effort wasn't put forth to try to work some of these things out. We're not trying to limit anything, and I somewhat question the fact, Jim, that you mentioned that we're limiting distribution, because, golly, there are methods of getting more of these out, and certainly they can be made easier. And there's no intention on the city's part of making this hard, albeit 11 pages is quite a lot of regulations, I guess you might say. I want to know if Bill, can you answer this? Thank you, Jim. Can you answer? Did we look at other cities and what they were doing, like Greenville or whoever?
Charleston. We looked at them 3 years ago. I've since lost a lot of hair.
Well, what were they? Excuse me, Jane.
Go ahead.
How do they compare with
the predominant approach with the ones that I recall seeing did not have the city directly involved in the process after the beginning. All the city did was decide where, how many, design, and then it was up to the publications to get together and work out the details. The city would control through enforcement those specific guidelines it had. It had implemented in its ordinance, which would be rather simple, but it keeps the city clear of having to implement, address some of the things that Jim Holly mentioned. It basically leaves us in a position of simply enforcing a fairly simple ordinance. That's what some have done.
Is what we have more complicated than what you found other places?
Not necessarily. Charleston's pretty complicated.
Right. Okay. I guess
Charleston was very complicated, actually.
I guess I could speak for several of us up here that we never intended to infringe on anyone's rights, especially free press. And then I also thought in my mind that the major publications were involved in the process.
They were. They were involved in it. And there were disagreements, and we could not come to terms with all of those disagreements through that process. If we had done that, it would have probably meant throwing out the entire process and simply not doing anything, because I felt that there was, I think we all felt, that there were just going to be some issues that there was not going to be complete agreement on. We had gone through this for much longer than I'd like to think about, probably 2 to 3 years. And without complete resolution on some of those points, and I think the point was that there would have to be some acceptance by the publishers that they're not going to get every issue resolved that they wanted, or that we would simply say we're just not going to do anything. I didn't see that there was a lot left to do to discuss without simply throwing everything out. We'd done about all we thought we could do. I mean, we had the notion that we didn't work at it hard enough, I think, is misleading. We worked extremely hard with it, and Scott Newcomb with the Aiken Standard, I might say, has spent a lot of hours on this, and no additional pay, and has worked with us, you know, extremely closely. And some of the other folks have been very, very good about working with us, but there were just some things that could not be completely resolved. There was not going to be total agreement.
How did Charleston deal with the First Amendment rights, the same way we have?
Virtually? I don't know. Gary may have something on that. I really don't know.
I'm sorry, Jane. I'm sorry. You were in the middle of something. Go ahead.
You know, it seems to me one of the very initial things that we would decide is what is against the law and what isn't. Jim, you're saying here that we limit the distribution. If that's true, and if it's true with these other cities, then they're doing it too. I not being an attorney, I don't see it that way. I thought all we had to do was offer adequate places for things to be distributed. And I think, and no one's saying we're not doing that. But I would think that would be something that would have to be resolved before you start talking about anything else. What's legal, what isn't?
I think Gary had addressed that with us. We had talked about this, Gary's been quite a while back, and I think Gary addressed precisely what you're saying here.
I mean, I heard Mr. Holly speaking in generalities, and I'd hate to have a legal conversation in this room with everybody here and try to figure out what's legal and what's not, and I'm sure there'd be some agreement on some sides and some disagreement on other sides. I guess I would feel better if I had a better idea of what the specific concerns were as opposed to just speaking in generalities. I haven't heard anybody specifically disagree with where the location of the racks would be. I haven't heard anybody specifically disagree with what was going to be, what publications would be allowed to be in the particular racks, wherever they may be located. And so without having some idea of the specifics of the concerns, and I didn't participate in all the meetings or any of the meetings, actually, I don't think that federal law, state law, or any other law is going to allow all of the rights of way within the downtown business district to be overrun by these publications. And I don't think there's any law that would say that there is a right, a legal right, for that to occur, and the purpose of this ordinance and this memorandum of understanding, as I understand it, is to allow a reasonable place, a reasonable opportunity for all of the publishers that want to distribute their publications in the city of Aiken to give them that opportunity to do that. And I think as long as we are reasonable in that regard, I think council's within their rights to provide a place for them to do that. I don't think they're all entitled to put it wherever they want to put it. And I do think there's a difference between somebody standing out on the street and handing out pamphlets versus placing a box in the public right-of-way and just letting it sit there and let people pick things out of it if they want to. I do think there's a difference there.
I do, too. And I had an experience last Monday of going downtown, and a merchant was moving two boxes that had just been put in front of his store without any request, any anything. And they're just proliferating like, unfortunately, we were afraid they would. I was hoping they wouldn't, but they are. And there happened to be a vacant area down the block, so he just moved them down there. But if you don't have a vacant area around, what are you supposed to do with them? Are you required to take care of them? I mean, they cost something. I don't understand, you know, why. I mean, they're being put on public right-of-way. I mean, there's public right-of-way in front of my home. If the paper wants to plant something in the front yard of what looks like the front yard of my home, so that the public can have access, is that okay? Because it's public right-of-way? You know, I don't understand that. And I think that is not what we're talking about, and we're not talking about limiting anybody's ability to communicate with the public. Also, I have a question about this. I had some questions for Mr. Holly. You said you'd seen some simple ordinances that were much better than this. Which ones?
Well, Greenville's delegates everything to the city manager, and the basic criteria criteria are in the ordinance.
Thanks.
Would you rather have, I mean, would they rather have?
Oh, hey, that's easy to do. That's all we need to do here.
That's not even
something. I'll be like Bill in a few years.
Yeah. Do we have a motion on that?
Well, it is a serious point. It's not a facetious point. It's a serious point. Because
why is that better in your mind?
Because obviously this is a body that also is a political body. It's a governmental body and a political body, and you're in the newspaper. If the way this is written, you have total discretion to deny a new publication from putting up a rack. It says for any reason you want to. It's what this MOU says.
Well, what does the Greenville one say then?
It sets out public safety criteria, aesthetic criteria, distance between the locations and things like that. Set specific criteria that can't be changed. If an existing publication wants to, a publisher wants to add a publication, you know, or go into Iraq, it has to go through a committee and through city council for them to do that. An existing, as I recall, an existing publication, say if Aiken Standard wanted to add a publication, they would have to go through the committee, that process, and then through city council to get it approved. And if you turn it down, you know, that creates a legal analysis of why and for what reasons. The Charleston understand, they have, this is what I understand, it's not what I've seen. You know, the fact that nobody notices the boxes is not good if your business is trying to get people to come to the boxes. But also, there are also newspaper racks in addition that are on the streets, traditional newspaper racks, as I understand, in addition to the city racks.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that people have seen those in the last few weeks. And there's just some problem, perhaps, with that ordinance. But, again, you know, what if somebody doesn't want to sign the MOU because they don't want to accept all the liability? Are you not going to let them put their newspapers in the rack?
Well, doesn't that hold harmless thing? Aren't you reading?
No, ma'am. That passes liability. Excuse me.
I thought the hold harm. I read this all wrong then. That's
yes,
why I'm
ma'am.
Asking the question about it.
It passes liability back to.
Well, it seems to me that what it's saying is that the users of the rack cannot sue the city because they don't get their paper in the right location. I thought that's what that said.
And we could certainly work.
Not that it passed liability back to the user.
Yeah. And those kind of details we could certainly work out. The major difference that we see between the Greenville ordinance and the City of Aiken ordinance is the City of Aiken ordinance, Council said early on, you all want to be in charge and control as to where the racks are going to be and what's going to be done with the racks. The Greenville one, City Council set up criteria as to where the racks are going to be and the design of the racks. And so you set up all the criteria, and then you put it back responsibility on the publishers. And from that point, as long as they stayed within the guidelines that were within the ordinance, Council never got involved again. So we tried to fashion ours so that Council did have authority as to where additional new locations were to be and how those were to be handled. Believe me, in talking to Bill, he would much rather see the Greenville model being used because then the city kind of steps back unless a major decision has to be made. I'll give you an example of that. When City of Aiken passed the last franchise agreement with the Aiken Electric Co-op at SCE&G, any disagreements that have resulted from this franchise agreement, it falls back on the city manager to make the final decision. Now, as a city manager, I really don't like that, but it also allowed hopefully somebody impartial to look at, here's what the agreement says, I get some legal advice on it, and then render decision to both parties. And it's worked out in the last, I think it's 8-9 years that since we passed that, fairly well. Doesn't mean that everybody's satisfied. But, I mean, it's two different, and they're both similar, but they're very different as to how the regulations are then applied. They both set up more or less the same way, and then it's, instead of the city council doing it, the manager is involved, or some designated person from the city structure, like the assistant city manager.
not trying to minimize the discussion, and I've sat through this discussion now for about 3 years. And and almost every time I keep thinking this shouldn't be this difficult, shouldn't be this hard, but obviously it's a complex subject, and it all boils down to how many racks we allow people to have. Bottom line, if we put 50 out there in locations, that allows everybody to have a rack that may come the next year. And whether we want 50 racks in every location or not, or do we want to grandfather everybody that's there? And I think we talked about that at one time, grandfathering everybody that has a rack currently in those specific locations. That's where they would stay. And then, as folks want to add, that come before this group for review and discussion in terms of adding more racks. We do in the city, and I see a lot of folks come and go. We are downtown eating all the time, and we get chuckles regarding the rainbow colors of our racks. And certainly they do present itself with a lot of discussion and a lot of sightseeing, because I mean you spot them everywhere. So the question comes with whether you want something aesthetically charming, as Aiken wants to label itself to be, or whether you want the rainbow colors everywhere. And that's what we have right now, is rainbow colors in our downtown area, in our alleys, and they'll continue to come. I think we can have the best of all worlds. It's a matter of getting someone to give and take some. It's not going to work out perfectly where everybody is happy, but it's a give and take situation with everybody that's involved here. But certainly, getting back to what's been said Bill, the committee has worked 3 years. Input has been given, and certainly, from what I'm hearing, not from all of the people impacted, but nevertheless, they have done a good job in terms of trying and striving to get input from as many people as they could involving this entire situation. So I don't want to take anything away from the committee that's been working to try to come at some reasonable place where we can all try to be reasonably happy with whatever's being recommended. So.
Jim, if I may ask, let sure. Mr. Joby sure. speak. He's been standing there. You can come back. Don't go away. But, don't go home.
Ed Joby, 541 Grace Avenue in Aiken. I think Mr. Holly has painted a very broad brush concerning the First Amendment. I think we're all well aware that every level of government probably has a significant amount of regulatory authority. I don't think that any of us could go out and start a radio station without permission. I don't think that all the cities that have been mentioned and Bill Huggins has researched have stumbled over every legal obstacle. I'm sure they've done their homework. I think what we're lacking here is a great deal of common sense, as Mrs. Price, Council Lady Price,
that's okay.
I should say, commented. This has been discussed now for 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. But what I'm hearing, I think, from some of the folks here is that they don't want any regulation, that they would prefer to have the status quo. There are now over 250 locations for the real estate book. We're starting to see them pop up in locations that might be classified as almost residential. There's one in front of the track kitchen now. Does that mean that we will now allow Bella and everyone else to put one over there? That's not a commercial area. I think there is some common sense that needs to be applied here. I think members of the press, various people with their publications, if they would only sit down, talk this thing out, and come to some agreement that will not infringe upon the First Amendment. Now, the First Amendment is subject to great interpretation. Council is not regulating content.
You can't regulate.
There's a big distinction here. Council is not regulating content. You're not telling these folks what to print, what to say. You are suggesting and setting up some parameters as to where these boxes can be located. Otherwise, there is nothing, if you, under the present circumstances, to regulate the numbers of the boxes, the location, and the size. They will continue to proliferate as they are now. And I think Mrs. Nicholson suggested that she objected to the fact that a businessman or a business could not remove a box that they didn't want in front of their store. Now, if a downtown business does not want, if you didn't want a box in front of your store, don't you think you should have the right to say, I don't want that box in front of my store? I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing. So I think there is an argument here for regulation. The First Amendment does not allow anyone to cry fire in a crowded theater. It is subject to wide interpretation. There are many, many test cases that come up, and the freedom of the press is a very, very important issue. It is one of the foundations of our democracy. There is no question about it. But it also means that there is a certain amount of responsibility that goes with that. And the responsibility, I think, lies with our press, folks who have their various publications that they would like distributed to the public. But it, as a city attorney has pointed out, these are in a public right-of-way. So there are some significant questions here. It is not a black-and-white issue with the First Amendment. And I would urge the council to take all this into consideration. Certainly look at the ordinances that exist in towns where these are working. And we don't have a significant problem from objections from various papers, as in Greenville. I think you suggested that that's working there, or in Charleston. Are there significant problems with the press in these towns? If there aren't, why are we such an exception? That's all I'm saying.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, Ann.
I think that's a hand.
Just
a minute. Let Beverly finish.
Yes. I just want to say that I do think that all of the people that are speaking tonight that have publications, when we first got started on this 2 or 3 years ago, it was my understanding that they were going to get together. And I thought this was a product of that get together. And I certainly know that we could parade 10 attorneys in here, and they would all have differing views of how to best do this, but we at least need to get some kind of directions as to what's best so that everybody is protected. We do need to try to protect the aesthetics of the community, but not at the expense of infringing on anybody's right to free press. And I think that there is a middle ground here, and we need to find it. We need to fine-tune the memorandum of understanding and come to some agreement on this. I also want to say that I probably don't want as much responsibility as I'm being given here to either approve or deny a new publication. I think maybe that even should go through the through this committee. Scott, I know you want
to. Scott, you want to speak? Certainly.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not?
My name is Scott Newcomb. I live at 208 Darien Drive in Aiken, 29803. I'm the circulation director with the Aiken Standard. I've heard a lot tonight about the Greenville model and Charleston model. I do know that there's some issues with the Greenville model. It's not a perfect model in itself. They're actually revisiting that. I think the last time we talked to them, they've had some problems with that. I think most of the publications, if not all the publications, want to work with the city as closely as we can to, because it's my city too. It's not just my publication, it's my city. We've made this our home now for 5 years, and we like it here in Aiken. Maybe, and I know that unless bill's changed in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be clear, it's been 3 years in November. I pretty much know since the first call that I made. Mm-hmm. Maybe what needs to happen is we need to take a look at the requirements and not have the regulation, but saying let's set up the different models. So, like Councilwoman Price suggested, that we have, you know, either uniformity, same colors, and some guidelines to go by for each publication to follow, mm-hmm. versus to be have more regulations that we can shake a stick at, and really a headache for City Council as well for Roger and for Bill Huggins. So, but I do appreciate Bill and his work that he's done over the last 3 years too.
Thank you, Scott. Well, we certainly appreciate all the work that everybody's done. I think obviously we need to do some work on this. Mm-hmm. I'm not prepared to support this on first reading until we do some modifications to it myself.
Can we table it?
I think so. I just think that we need to look back. Scott, I don't know what the problems are Greenville's having, but we need to find out what they're having. We need to find out what the successful cities are doing and mold ours more toward what the success is and not try to necessarily reinvent the wheel. Not that we did, but it appears that maybe we're not considering all the things that we should consider from those successful cities. I think we need to table this thing. I think there are too many questions here, mm-hmm. that we could sit here for the next 3 hours, and we're not going to do that. But you know, we could continue talking about this thing for a long time. But it's going to take a small group of people, and I'm real sorry that the ADDA was not in part of this. And I don't know how in the world that happened, but they are a major part of our downtown, as I've said earlier. They have ever since they were formed back in 98 and so forth. So we need to get them involved. And
I think she's...
and all the attorneys that we need. Sure, come on up and speak. But I think we obviously need to take another look at this.
My name is Roseanne Covell, 2295 Banks Mill Road, Aiken, South Carolina. Lived here for about 6 years, have 7 children, so have an invested interest in the community as well. And the concerns that I had, I know that you saying that Greenville is a role model in Charleston, and I can't speak with Greenville, but I can speak with Charleston, visiting there many times, and they do have the newspaper racks, the metal ones, but a lot of those now have stickers all over them, keyed or painted on, so that would be one thing that you need to take into consideration is the vandalism. And I'd like to look at some other cities, maybe they have bricked ones, some other models also. And as Kyle mentioned, we just got back from Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, a horse community like ourselves, a pristine city, clean city, a city with the different rainbow wax. Not all real estate publications, auto, different things. And we were really impressed how clean and how neat they were. In addressing the issue, I do know that there are some publications coming in and not asking, you know, to place those racks, and we always do. In one example, 321 contact, we asked the manager if we could put a rack there, and she said, sure. Well, then her person came and said no, so gave us a call, and we came and we picked that up. Then at the racetrack, the Carolina company asked us to put a rack out there, a yellow rack. They said it was in city ordinance, the little kitchen place, so we came back and got the yellow rack from them and put a green rack out there. And they're happy to have us. I wave to them every time I distribute. And they said, if you know the city doesn't want that rack outside, then we'll put the rack inside. So we are willing to comply. But one of the things, the other concern I have with the MOU, is I do think you do put limitation. The Augusta Chronicle was represented, the Aiken Standard, Bella, and ourselves, so we're going to be happy. We're going to be grandfathered in. But I think you're going to have people like the Wagner person who are going to stand up for their First Amendment, because I know that, you know, the state wasn't represented with their newspaper, and I know as soon as we put the wax up, you're going to have a lot of other newspapers coming and saying, you know, why was I not on that committee going forward? And I do thank Bill and Roger for all the work, because I think we have worked hard and have been committed to the MOU.
Thank you, Roseanne. Thank you.
I,
I think if we table this, I mean, there have been some, we ought to identify the points that have been brought up that we specifically want addressed.
Mm-hmm.
One is the liability,
mm-hmm.
and I think 11 doesn't say what, we don't agree on what it says. I think it says something entirely different from what you think it says. But I'm no attorney, but I still think I can read. I think we need to address the, I don't remember any, I agree with Beverly. I can't remember when we all said we want to be in charge of this.
No,
I do not remember that statement at all. Maybe I could be wrong, but I think we would remember if we said that. I truly do. I think we,
ownership?
In what way, Leslie?
Who owns, in terms of the review, the whole recommendation in terms of whether we add or...
I don't think that needs to be City Council. I think it should be more expedient, perhaps. And so that needs to be addressed. What else? Let's. There was something...
I think bringing in new publications ought to... I mean, I'm not an expert on publications, and for me to deny one or allow one that might not be good, I just don't want that responsibility. I think people in the press need to have pride in the city and help us identify whether something is good or bad, and let them think about how it might impact them if the shoe were on the other foot. So I don't think I want the responsibility of voting to say whether we want a publication or don't want a publication.
Well, and the only reason we ever brought this up in the first place is that things just are getting out of hand. Otherwise, we wouldn't address it, frankly. I don't think.
But I did remember all of them being here and speaking, and I don't know why I thought that they were going to get together and come back to us with this. And
we did.
And it sounds to me like they did. And I'm hearing people say they were not a part of it, and I just
yes,
not
sir.
Ready to vote for it.
Wade Brady, 422 York Street, Southeast. I'm a director on the board of the Downtown Development Association, and since that was mentioned a couple of times tonight, I thought I should at least make a comment. Our involvement has been aesthetics, totally. Nothing to do with the planning process. And Beverly is exactly right. I've sat down on council meeting after council meeting when these discussions were going on when it first started out. And the direction that city staff was given was to pull the news media together and develop a plan that all of them could live with. And probably about a year and a half ago, it seemed we were pretty close to that. And it's my guess, I could be totally wrong, that the MOU that you have was developed by this committee. Beyond that, we've talked about it and talked about it, and ADDA is still concerned about the aesthetics, the looks of the existing boxes, the growth of them, and we would like to see council move forward to get some control. Thank you.
Thank you, Wade. I think we're all concerned about the aesthetics of this. On one hand, you say if we don't do anything, we could have the whole streets lined up. If everybody wants a box of their own, they have a box. I can just see it now, all over the city, just lined up with these things. So there's got to be some system, an easier system, to determine additional racks, but not unlimited racks. I think we need to pull the people together again, and let's resolve this thing. Otherwise, council will just go ahead and approve something which we know is not right, and we're not going to do that.
I also think we need to clarify the. I knew there was another thing I'd forgotten, the maintenance of the boxes.
Yeah.
It seems to me that we should maintain the boxes, that the city should maintain the boxes. I mean, what if one part's damaged and one guy maintains his part and the next part's not? That's ridiculous.
Oh, I think so, too. And there would be some periodic inspections of the boxes. Even in Greenville, I noticed a couple that had the stickers on the side of the box. And I thought, doesn't that look terrible, and scratches as well.
And those things need to be checked out every occasionally. Take the stickers off, paint the scratches, and do that kind of thing.
Under item 8, it does say the city will provide repairs or services as requested by publishers or distributors.
I think we ought to do it on our own, not wait for somebody to tell us, because I think we know in the city what we want things to look like. We want them to look good. We want them to look right. Maybe there needs to be a patrol. Walk around every week, you know, and just look at all the boxes or something. I don't know. That can be worked out. But somehow we need to maintain the boxes and look at them occasionally and fix them up. It's no different than striping on the roads, you know. We may not put the striping on, but you got to call DOT to put the striping on the road. I mean, there's lots of things that we can look at and get done or take the initiative to get done. And I think this is one of them that we could have somebody do that in our city staff. Not our staff, not our city manager, but I mean somebody with a paint bucket to go around every once in a while. So I like that, a lot of little things here, and I think certainly that, well.
Would the request be that the city pull the parties together or the committee?
Can I say something?
Yes.
First of all, let me just say that Bill has been working really hard on this for several years, and I think there's different representatives from the committee here tonight that would attest that, and so I just thank you for the hard work in trying to pull this together, because we have really two very distinct situations that are coming up here. Council and the ADDA would like to go ahead and consolidate these areas and to get it from an aesthetic standpoint. The publishers would, I mean, the bottom line is they would prefer just leave it the way it is. I mean, if they had their choice. And that's been the problem we've been facing for the last 2 or 3 years. People have come to the table, and they have tried to work through some of these details, and their feeling is we still don't want to do anything. Let's leave it the way it is. And so we've tried to fashion together an agreement based on taking an example from Greenville, taking from Charleston, looking at some other situations, and fashioning into what we have here. This MOU is what you looked at about a year and a half ago, and there was disagreements at that time. You said, take it back and try to work it out. So we've met probably 3 or 4 more times, made various changes, looking at it, and to the most part, you know, probably 90% of the agreement here, everybody could live with. It's still a case of a few basic areas. The liability, we could certainly deal with that fairly easily. The maintenance of boxes, I really think the city should be in charge. It's very simple for us to scrape off the decals and paint it on a regular basis. To me, one of the biggest things that Bill and I have had lots of discussions on, and maybe we misunderstood what Council was saying, but we thought you said we'd like to have the final say on the boxes, locations, and where and what's going to have happen. We think the Greenville model, and again, when I say we, I'm talking about Bill and myself, but also part of the group out there, that putting up and setting criterias and then living by those criteria as to how you set it up, so it doesn't have to keep coming back to City Council for every decision that has to be made, is a much better model. Leaving it up to that committee based on the criteria that you set up. That way, if a decision has to be made, they can make it. If there's some question, it could always go back to City Manager, and I can't say I'd be happy to do that, but I'd be more than willing to do that, to move that forward. The only thing I ask of you is, if we're going to go back to the committee again, is for us to make sure we understand. Otherwise, we'll just be meeting again for the next year, 2 years, because we're never going to agree on everything with this group here. I've heard of several things. We can look at the liability. We can look at the maintenance of the boxes. The locations that you have to start somewhere. You have to say, these are the locations we're starting at. These are how many boxes we'll have at all the locations. And that's a start.
And knowing that in years to come, I can't tell you how 5 years from now how many more publications we'll have. But what we have, you have a criteria set up, you know what kind of boxes you want to have, and you can work from that point. We don't know how big our downtown's going to be. You know, someday these boxes might be stretching down Park Avenue or Richland Avenue or being more on Pendleton Street because we have more and more individuals that will be utilizing those particular locations, and that's what we hope will happen. So it gives you the criteria that you then use as more boxes are needed.
Well, Ralph, let me just add, too, as technology takes place, there may be a shift, too, because I know with several of the folks in here, and I won't call names of publishers, a lot of the folks read your articles online. A lot of folks read it online. So there are people that like to see print sometimes in their faces. Many of them have already seen the newspaper by the time they get to their offices. So just a point here.
And then, so going back, if you'd like us to go back again, the one thing that I would like some consensus, and maybe you can't even give that tonight, is who's going to be in charge of the general ordinance, the publishers or the city?
If it helps any, your lawyer would agree with your city manager that the Greenville model, as I understand it, would be a better approach than having city council making all those decisions. And I think Jim Holly would agree with me. We would at least agree on that issue, would we not?
Yes.
Well, since Mr. Huggins, if he'll still speak to me after this, since Mr. Huggins has been so involved with this, mm-hmm. I think it would make sense for him to be, first to start out, with Bill's being the person. And it would seem to me that we could get these publishers together, this memorandum of understanding, not start it all over again, go through and cross out the parts that look to us be contradictory or illegal, and then go on.
Would it be in order to adopt it on first reading with points to address the liability, the maintenance area, the ownership area, and then come back at the appropriate time for second reading?
Let's not forget the legal issue.
And the legal area, right.
Area. That's
right.
The biggest thing I think we
would
get.
It would take a second reading and public hearing to do anything.
We could certainly do that. That would move it, at least move it one step, but not ensure that it's going to go anywhere until we get things where we want
right.
It on second reading. Go ahead, Jim.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My concern on that is just this. I think there's at least some chance what you're going to get back is going to be significantly different.
What we have now.
If the model is going to be more towards the Greenville model, then as much as I'd love to see this go to second reading, even I would say let's go back, because this would yeah. change significantly from what we have here, because this is all based on city council approvals. The Greenville model is city council approves the basic regulations, what we do, and then the final authority from that point is designated to us.
But to us can committee. We keep this at the city council level? In other words, they'll meet, and then it'll come back to us with the new draft.
Yeah, we can just table it.
And not wait another year, 6 months. You know what I mean. I think the memo of understanding is a start. I mean, sometimes you just have to start by putting stuff on paper and marking out what you don't want when you finally get it there.
And
maybe that's what we've done here.
And if Greenville is making some changes, we could talk to Jim Borney, who's the city manager up there, and find out what they're doing and why they're doing it, and see where they're going with it.
Mr. Bear,
okay, let's
I want to make a motion to table this ordinance on this first reading and address. We'll just table this ordinance, period.
Right.
At the appropriate time, following meeting from the committee led by our assistant city manager, that it will come back up for review by city council.
Okay, I'll second it.
You know what I wish we would do with that, though, is to put a time element on it so we don't have to go through this another year.
Well, it's going to take
yeah.
some time. It's going to take several months, don't you think, Bill?
And we've got Christmas coming up around the Thanksgiving Christmas.
Okay, I'm just...
Yeah, we won't see this again until January.
Well, why can't somebody meet in 2 weeks and then it come back? Or, and then if they can't agree on anything, meet again in 2 weeks. But, I mean, I don't see why it has to be in January and then come back to us. We're tabling it. We're not throwing it out. We're not, you know.
Well, we have a motion.
I think it's time to table it. Let's review it again in 3 days.
Can we... We'll work expediently as we can, but you know I don't know what our schedules all look like. Trying to get the group together, just saying, okay, let's meet on such a date is sometimes very difficult to do. So we may not be able to even meet for a couple of weeks. But we need to look at the Greenville and find out what's going on there first.
Sure.
And once we find out what's going on, then we can go ahead and pull everybody to act together again. We'll have to discuss that, see what areas we have a disagreement on. We'll then draft something up. We'll have to meet again as a group. I could see it being at least 60 days before we'll get back to City Council with
the draft. I don't think we ought to set a time. We want quality this time. We want to see it. The next time we see it, we want to see something that we can move it on. And... with the holidays and everything else coming up, I agree.
But I do want to thank the committee. I think if we did not have a draft, we would still be floundering around and running in circles.
Absolutely.
And the locations and the number of things are probably not going to change significantly. You know, it might be a little higher, might be a little bit lower. It's the control of the whole thing that's always been one of the major issues that we've had.
Mm-hmm. Roger.
Roseanne, did you want to say something? Did you want to say something?
One other question that I would like to pose is, are there cities that have gone to a uniform box, perhaps a much nicer looking box, and still leave it individually with the papers or the free publications?
Not that I know of. We've seen several that have gone to the racks, so it's either you go to one extreme or the other, but I've never seen individual boxes for each one.
Uniform boxes.
I have not seen it. There may be a location out there, but I have not seen that.
I would just like to thank Roger for clarifying, to me anyway, and maybe to the other people as well. I won't speak for them, but the City Council's involvement and where they want to be. So that's been real good eye-opening for myself. And also, I think looking at the Greenville model will be a good model to look at. And to Ms. Price, I just want to address that the real estate book has gone to a bunch of conventions, and even though there is online and there is print, it's a marriage, and they both go together. Everyone still wants that print in hand. They still want that Bible in hand, whether it be the newspaper or a publication. They want that print thing also. So both of go together. So they're not going anywhere. Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? This is to table it. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for your time and counsel.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for everyone here that was a part of this.
You know, when I was wondering today, Mr. Mayor, we have on our first reading that we don't allow comments, but almost every meeting we allow comments and we have to suspend the rule. And I was wondering why we have that rule that we have to suspend all the time.
I think it's designed so that meetings won't last so long. I think that's the purpose of not having all that discussion on first reading. But
we always do it.
Well, we learned something from it, whether we like it or not. And council doesn't have to approve it. You know, it's not mandated by the mayor or anything. But we do want to have input. I personally think it's a good idea.
We learn a lot.
We learn a lot.
We do.
And we don't learn it 10 minutes before we vote or 5 minutes before we vote. We learn it ahead of time.
For what it's worth, I think Mr. Holly was the city attorney when that rule was passed. He may have better input than I do.
Oh, you're going to get one on that.
I've had my feelings hurt several times tonight.
Jim, we're sorry.
I know you're sorry.
It comes with the job. Yeah.
We feel the pain, Jim.
Okay, thank you all. Moving right along here. Item 3, acceptance of the annual report for fiscal year 06 to 07. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, sir. You have before you a pretty thick document of information that the staff has put a lot of time and effort into. having available to you. It's a great resource, and I probably, when you call me sometimes, I should, probably should say, look at the annual report, and post so-and-so, you'll see the document. Instead, I usually look it up and then give you the information. But there's a lot of great stuff here. It's a great recap of what has accomplished and what we have done this past year. And I go through a lot of these accomplishments, but all I can do is just say thank you to the staff members that are here for, again, a job well done. And you know, despite some things that we'll always hear some negative about our city, we have a great community here. And it's because of the citizens, it's because of the staff members that you have in the departments that we have here. And kudos go to each one of them.
Absolutely. We've got the
so best. This is just information for City Council.
Okay. Okay, let's accept it, shall we? Do we have a motion and second?
I move for acceptance of the annual report for fiscal year 2006-2007.
Second.
All right, second. Any other discussion? It is a wonderful resource, and we all thank the staff for taking time to put it together and for us. All in favor? Show of hands. It passes unanimously. All four of us. Item 4, approval of the public safety grant from the South Carolina Department of Transportation.
Yes, sir. I can't tell you enough about how good our departments are and what they come up with. But last year we suggested at Horizons that we consider annexing a particular roadway called Whiskey Road from Pine Log Road down to Talitha Church Road. And I explained at that time that if we're really going to patrol that properly, if we're really going to get involved in looking at the details of that road, we need to have probably some extra officers. They're not going to be out there all the time, but when you start looking at the traffic accidents and enforcement and other things, that's going to be very critical. Well, it's true of all of our roads, but this one is even more critical. Pete and I talked about the fact that, well, whenever that happens, we'll probably need to hire a couple more people that we would then spread out over various shift periods. As enterprising as they are, they were able to find a grant that will allow us to hire two new officers. The grant will pay for 80% of the salary, pay for 80% of the fringes, pay for 80% of the cars, pay for 80% of the uniforms, and anything that would go in association with two officers doing traffic enforcement and safety things related throughout the community, they'll pay 80%. The second year, they won't pay, obviously, for the car because we've already purchased the hardware and the equipment, but they'll still continue to pay for 80% of the salary and the same thing the third year. So we enthusiastically are bringing before you and are just thankful again to public safety in finding this grant, a grant that we have that will pay on an 80-20 basis from the South Carolina Department of Transportation to hire two new officers whose primary responsibility will be to enforce traffic safety laws within our city.
Very good. Right. Very good. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve this grant.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? Sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor, show of hands, please. Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Guess that's it. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.
My wife's going to have the line, too.
And maybe you have them.
I don't know.
You better go straight home.